I would ask that you take a Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We'll be reading verses 13 through 20. If you don't have a Bible with you, there are pew Bibles, and it's on page 1003 in the pew Bible. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 20. Keep alert. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now, brothers and sisters, you know that members of the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you to put yourselves at the service of such people and of everyone who works and toils with them. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence. For they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. So give recognition to such persons. The churches of Asia send greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, greet you warmly in the Lord. All the brothers and sisters send greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. If you took the bet, you were right. Remember, 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 member, remember, remember, member. No, that's as far as I'm going to go. But because I don't go down all that low with my voice. But we're here to remember. You might remember that song. At least one or two of you might, from some years past. But we come here today to remember. To remember the servants, just as the Apostle Paul, at the end of what we call 1 Corinthians, is doing the same. You might also remember the game memory, the game where you seek to match images on cards. They've got all kinds of memory games out now. I'm learning that with that little 2.5-year-old granddaughter. Only you play by her rules. But you were to match those images on the cards, trying to remember where they were and trying to recall enough so that you could feel good about yourself in that game. But you know, what we're about today, and oftentimes in our lives, if we stop and think, is to remember images and times from our past, to match those up with the lives of those persons whom we have known and have loved, at least some of them. We might have learned some things with images and memories and times from the past from folks that maybe weren't all that great in our eyes. But we were able to learn good and not so good, and hopefully, as we remember those things, be able to continue to live our lives in a better way, a way that helps us and helps those around us. Yet, sometimes we don't want to remember, do we? Sometimes we forget rather quickly. But if we do not keep memories and reflect upon them from time to time, we lose our sense of heritage. We cease to learn. In fact, we may stunt our own growth emotionally and spiritually. And we might forget the lessons that we need to remember in order to remain strong and to live productive lives together. Today we have remembered various persons of our fellowship who have left an earthly living, but who have left in their own ways a heritage behind. The memories we have of and from them are varied. They're varied in part because of our different relationships with them, some as family, some as friends, some as churchmen, maybe even occasionally as an adversary. Paul knew the importance, though, of remembering. Both things that did not build the fellowship, if you read the Corinthian correspondence, you find in those four letters that we have contained in 1 and 2 Corinthians, many places where Paul is not too happy about what he is remembering. And he also remembers the servants who left behind a good legacy, one that the people at Corinth needed to emulate. The passage under consideration today helps us see the need to continue to remember not only the persons but the lessons, especially those servants who helped the community of faith to grow. As Paul begins moving to the end of what we call 1 Corinthians here in chapter 16, a letter that actually, if you go and look at the historical backgrounds of everything and the chronological order of the letters in 1 and 2 Corinthians, was not very successful, because he later writes addressing some of the same concerns that have not been taken care of. He gives at the outset a beginning of exhortations which relate to matters that he had addressed earlier to the church. He warns them to be on their guard for imminent danger among them. There had been some aberrant behaviors in the church which had been taking its toll on the church's fellowship, on the church's witness, and quite frankly, on the future of the church as well. The people are urged to watch out and stand firm in the faith. In this instance, Paul is wanting them to hold fast to the faith, that is, to maintain the traditions that Paul had delivered to them, and to remain true to those traditions of truth. In fact, he gives greater emphasis to this by encouraging the people at the church in Corinth to be courageous and strong as they hold on to the traditions, those in which they had found the truth. And they were urged to be strong, doing everything with a spirit of genuine love for Christ, for the faith, and for others around them. But this is not just a general pleading with people. Paul commands the household, the oikia, comes from oikos, house, the household of Stephanas, for doing exactly what Paul's instructions have just been. He praises the household of Stephanas, not just Stephanas, but everyone that is associated with him, for holding on to that truth, for standing firm. Stephanas and his family were the first converts. Literally, the word here means the first fruits in Achaia, Greece, according to most scholars. Others further contend that the piety of the household of Stephanas was greater than that of other people around them, and was seen not because they were so humble, just ask them and they'd tell you about it, but was seen in their genuine humility and service to others. The household of Stephanas tended to place the needs of the church and the needs of the community even above their own. Therefore, they hold a preeminent and prominent place in the church, not because they pushed around their weight, but rather they are prominent because they have followed the way of loving care by rendering service. Seems to me somebody else said something about that the greatest would be the least and the servant of all. Jesus. Instead of expecting to be served, they struck out to serve in their lives. The urging to be subject to such persons as Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus does not mean that these persons lorded power over the church. Rather, their judgment and integrity are sound, and their thoughts and service should be considered highly before you go about doing your service. In other words, they gave something to emulate very closely. They didn't lord over, but people did come to them and ask advice, and then watched what they did and the way they lived, then emulated that loving care, that humble servant attitude. Another interesting thing that could be noted about Fortunatus and Achaicus may have been the fact that they were actually freedmen. They were freedmen. That is, they were descended from those first freedmen, slaves, that had been brought by Rome to populate the new Roman colony of Corinth. These persons knew what it was to be humble because they were descended from servants, from slaves, and yet they themselves served humbly. According to Scott Nash, this occurred in the first century BC when the Romans were conquering much of the known world at that time and conquered the great Alexander's former kingdoms. Their attitude of service had refreshed Paul, in fact. He says here that it had been refreshing to find this kind of humble service, this kind of person within the church, when so many others were clamoring for the places of honor, were clamoring for their ideas to be the only ones heard. Fortunatus and Achaicus were a fresh wind, a fresh breeze. Here is a contrast between these who followed Paul's instructions and those who did not. And Scott Nash writes, I quote, "Those who should be recognized are those who do not assert themselves, but understand the message of the cross and implement that message in their sacrificial care for others around them." End of quote. As further encouragement, Paul sends even more greetings from the ecclesiae, plural, from the churches in Asia. Not just one church, but all the churches in Asia who were putting forth this same kind of loving care and humility, who were leaving behind a legacy, leaving behind memories of servanthood and of loving care. These churches that are also remembering the Corinthians. A part of their service was that Paul sent back, "These people are praying for you, even though they are not here. They are praying for you and remembering you, wishing you Christ's best." Aquila and his wife Prisca, also known as Priscilla. And by the way, this is one of only two places in the New Testament where the two of them that are mentioned, that she is not mentioned first. But Aquila and Priscilla, or Prisca, began churches in various places, wherever their business took them, and were an encouragement to standing firm in the faith, even in the face of others who sought to destroy the faith. The holy kiss that Paul mentions here was a reminder that they should regularly embrace one another in the faith. As they are bound to Christ, they are also bound to each other, even though they may not sometimes like each other. They are still encouraged to embrace with that holy kiss because they are bound as Christ's family, one to another. As we then come today, remembering these servants and others, as we reflect back, perhaps even further, in our lives and our church's life. Those who have served in different places, those who have served in different ways, some of them teaching Sunday school, some serving as deacons, some making egg pies. Y'all know of whom I speak. The first time I heard her talk about egg pies, I knew that Ms. Gonnell meant egg custard. But you know what image I had. A pie shell with a bunch of eggs in it. And so many others that have served in so many different ways. We are called to reflect upon not only their love for Christ and their service for the church. We're called to remember their understanding of the traditions of sacrificial love and care for others. As we remember their works or the works of others within our midst, both past and those who serve presently, working for Christ's church. The challenge is for us to not only emulate what they do and emulate the influences that they have had, but the call is for us to stand firm in the faith, to be strong and courageous in emulating Christ Jesus and His loving care, even for those for whom He said, "Father, forgive them." May we be found faithful, remembering the servants by our lives. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do come before You, thanking You once again for all of those who have helped to shape us and to shape our church, to shape our world in positive ways. Lord, help us to emulate them, just as Paul encouraged folks to emulate Stephanas, Fortunatus, Achaicus, and so many others. But Lord, may our emulation not be something that is just surface. May it be something that draws us closer to You and closer to each other, so that we are truly a fellowship, a household of faith, of service, of life. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 661. Little is much when God is in it. Sometimes we think we can do very little, and yet when God is in what we do, it can truly lead to great things. Our altar is open to any who would make a decision of any kind. Hymn number 661, Little is Much When God Is In It.